the week's cases for the week ending August 29th, 2025, by Alman Astor, LA County Public Defender's Office. Changes to the gang statute mean some gang priors are not strikes. Effective 1/1/22, AB 33 made major changes to criminal street gang crimes and enhancements, greatly limiting what conduct is sufficient. What about strike priors based on the previous version of the gang statutes? Each such prior must be evaluated in light of AB 333, and many will no longer qualify under the amendments. Are these still strikes? Given those changes, do pre-AB 333 convictions for Penal Code Section 186.22 still qualify as strikes, or Penal Code Section 667A enhancements? The courts of appeal have split on this issue, as do the Supremes, but the majority rules that the changes made by AB 333 control in determining whether a prior Penal Code Section 186.22 conviction qualifies as a strike or a Penal Code Section 667A prior. So this is confusing. One issue is the so-called lock-in provisions of Prop 21 and Prop 36, which fix the list of serious felonies for purposes of the three strikes law as of a specific date. The Supremes say that, quote, whether a prior felony conviction is for a serious felony or violent felony is determined by the list of felonies in Section 1192.7c or Section 667.5 subdivision c, in effect on the lock-in date applicable to a defendant's current offense, even if the prior offense preceded the classification of those offenses as serious or violent felonies, or was added to the list of felonies after the prior offense was committed, close quote. The majority holds, quote, Assembly Bill 333 applies to the determination of whether the conviction qualifies as a prior serious felony conviction under subdivision C-28 of Section 1192.7 for purposes of the three strikes law and prior serious felony enhancements, close quote. What this actually means, as the dissent explains, is that, quote, the majority's holding means that Fletcher and Taylor, who indisputably were convicted of prior serious felony offenses, will be treated as if they had no such convictions, close quote. Note, under this logic, pre-AB 333 substantive gang crimes under Penal Code Section 186.22a and gun enhancements under Penal Code Section 12022.5 would also be invalidated. Confused? If you have a gang prior, you'll have to do a deep dive into this opinion. On another point, some courts of appeal had claimed that applying the changes to a prior serious felony was barred because it would have been an unconstitutional amendment of a ballot initiative. The majority disagrees, saying that, quote, such application of Assembly Bill 333 does not unconstitutionally amend any ballot initiative, close quote. Beal versus Fletcher, S281-282-825-25 Cal Supremes. A Kelly Foundation does not apply when a new test is only one of many. Another monster death penalty affirmance from the Cal Supremes, 139-page lead opinion, 159 pages total. Many issues. One of note, in rebuttal, the DA called an expert to rebut the defense suggestion that Sherry was the killer, not appellant. The expert administered the child abuse potential inventory tests, HAPI 6, to Sherry and concluded that Sherry, quote, was not at risk to physically abuse children in her care, close quote. You might think that this sort of testimony is bonkers, but we use the Stoll 49 Cal 3rd 1136 case, where the Cal Supremes held that a trial court can't exclude defense experts who have tested the defendant and would testify that the defendant doesn't meet the profile of a molester. Here, the defense challenges the testimony on Kelly, 17 Cal 3rd 24 grounds. Kelly requires general acceptance of a new scientific test in the relevant scientific community before that test is admissible. The court never quite admits that the expert's reliance on the CAPI 6 test alone would have to meet the Kelly Foundation requirements, instead insisting that the expert's reliance on the CAPI 6 test alone was only part of the basis of the expert's opinion. The expert testified that, quote, his expert opinion was not based on the CAPI 6 test alone, but instead factored in at least eight other tests, several questionnaires, a clinical interview, and documentation of Sherry's personal, social, legal, and medical history. The actual rule here is unclear. If you're offering expert opinion based on a new kind of test, make sure your expert does lots of other testing that supports their opinion. If you're challenging the prosecution's expert, try to get that expert to admit primary or exclusive reliance on the new test you're challenging. Field versus Alvarez, S089619-1825, Cal Supremes. Judges are limited in correcting sentencing errors after sentence is final. CDCR sometimes sends a letter to judges informing them that a sentence they imposed may be an error, code for, you screwed this up, idiot. The problem is that the statutes governing finality of sentences provide limited remedies. Penal Code Section 1172.1A1 gives a court jurisdiction to recall a felony sentence on recommendation of CDCR or within 120 days of the imposition of sentence. The former situation only permits resentencing to a term no greater than the initial sentence. So does the judge have jurisdiction to correct an unauthorized sentence once that sentence is final? There happens to be a case law split on this. Quote, the appellate courts are divided as to whether, in the absence of a specific authorizing statute, a superior court has jurisdiction to correct an unauthorized sentence once the judgment's final. Close quote. This court of appeal decides that, quote, the courts in these circumstances lack fundamental jurisdiction to vacate or modify the sentence, close quote. The court of appeal rules that a sentence can only be modified if some statute authorizes it, such as Penal Code Section 1172.1, quote, or by the filing of a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, close quote. The judge here increased the defendant's sentence without his presence and without conducting a full hearing. The Court of Appeal rules that this was error. The court had no jurisdiction to do so. But the Court of Appeal recognizes that leaving a void sentence in place, quote, would be manifestly unjust, close quote. So they treat the direct appeal as a habeas corpus petition and vacate the unlawful sentence. All this angst seems pointless. Just tell us to file habeas corpus petitions, okay? People versus Singleton. B341793, B336504, 820-25, CA 2nd Division 7.